Good afternoon.
I'm Dom.
I am Jamie.
Welcome back to the Cutting Room Floor. Today, capping off, I gotta give us credit. We've been doing great with series. We've been finishing them. Like, we were terrible for a while, but like after we did Mad Max. we kind of stayed with it.
It was your love of Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson is my man, bro. Yeah. That's my man. See, he's my favorite racist anti-Semite.
Yes. I'm glad those are two separate things.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm actually happy about that. Because it would be weird if you look at another white person and think you're another
like,
race.
This guy, yeah, I'm like, yeah. To me, what? A Jewish guy is still white.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, right?
Like, man, some people look at
it's the star, though. It's the star.
That's got to be what it is.
It just has Whoopi. That's what she got in trouble about.
Dude, I've heard some people's views, and I'm like, man, how crazy is hate a group of people as much. But whatever.
Yeah.
So we're capping off Clerks 3. Yay. Or Clerks series. Yes. With Clerks 3.
Speaking of anti-Semites, Randall's grandmother.
Randall's grandmother, yeah. She did refer to a broken beer bottle as a certain kind of knife.
And the curse.
The curse.
I know that was last week.
Said,
it's a
you
callback.
Can't say that, bro. Yeah. He said, there you go. Tell me I can't do something because of the color of my skin. Insane. But Clerks 3, what is this, 16 years later or 14 something? What is it? What is it, 18?
It would have been actually, it came out 2 years ago, so it would have been 16
years. 16 years, yeah.
Because I think Dante actually says that in the film.
Yeah,
he's like, 16 years.
Crazy. Yeah. It's crazy because you grew up with these movies and I did too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's what the weird thing.
Yeah.
Like we both grew up with them. I'm more of a peer with them and you're more of like, hey, look at these guys.
Yeah, I'm more of an Elias to them.
Yes,
you
yes.
You know what I mean? That's really exactly where I am. Me and Elias are only a few years apart. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, God, that is true.
So I kind of grew up with these. Love them. It's a great series. I don't think there's... If you like buddy comedies, you can't go wrong with Clerks.
Yeah.
As a whole series. And it's just really cool to see from one all the way to three. Because these films are... They're a reflection of current times.
They are.
We get the last 30 years in a nutshell.
Yeah, and how they're
broken
affected
into
by it.
Yeah, broken into three different segments of times, and you just see how much. And they point it out. You know, it's apparent how they pointed out how things have changed, how technology has changed things, all kinds of funny stuff. And I think that's my favorite part of it, and that's what I love about watching these last 3 weeks, because I'm like, man, I just got. Pretty much the time from I was born till now, wrapped up in a movie about two dudes working somewhere. I mean, that's
true. And they've been friends since longer than that. Yep. So, like, their lives are intertwined inexplicably. Excuse me, because every choice they make has to do with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, I think, in a lot of ways, it's like, I can't talk about it, but it kind of reminds me of Fight Club. In you know how one person is like the id and the other person.
Yes,
is,
that's actually really great comparison. Because Edward Norton and Randall would be Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
So that's actually a pretty good comparison because they are kind of one.
Yes. But one is like the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we said this when we talked about Clerks. Yeah. It's like they can't function without the other one.
Because one needs that chaos to have some kind of incitement in life, and one needs that groundedness to keep them from fucking flying off the edge.
Because you do get that feeling about Dante, like he might, like he could go postal. That's what it seems like.
Because
when the first one came out, going postal was a thing.
That was the thing.
Now it's like school shooter.
Yes, and I mean, he wasn't supposed to be there. So, I really might go postal, bro. Shoot. These customers, you walk in at 12:37, you might be hit. But so Clerks 3, fun, interesting movie. What I like is wasn't this movie kind of like crowdfunded?
I believe it was.
Or did they crowdfund the physical release for it?
I think the whole film was crowdfunded, and when they released it, he toured with it, so as part of his tour, Kevin Smith, But then Fathom Events had like two showings 1 week in September.
Mm-hmm.
So
crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. And then, so with work schedules and birthdays, it was tough to see it until it did have a physical release.
Yeah. And so I got it on Blu-ray. And if you watch it all the way through the credits, Kevin Smith speaks about, he like thanks the people for buying the Blu-ray and kind of talks a little bit about how that physical media had, the purchases, the customers buying the physical media is keeping him, is why he's able to keep making these small time films for us. So he has a cool little speech about it, and I thought that was dope. But I mean,
which reminds me, quick aside, I think he got the rights back to Dogma. So sometime next year, I think.
Get that sweet, sweet Blu-ray.
Yeah,
release.
Yeah. In time for the 26th anniversary.
Yeah, that 4K.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm hyped for that because I absolutely love that movie. I have to cover that too because that's a good one. But this movie, it's different. It's different.
It is different.
Although it's really a rehashing of the first movie, it's got a whole lot more emotional weight to it. And like watching it this time, I've seen it like 4 or 5 times now. Watching it this time, dude, I was like ready to start crying like halfway through it. Like,
wow,
I'm like,
really?
Just because I'm like, I know it's to come, and like you're watching them go through, and I'm like, they're just gonna break me down. And it fucking did.
And I noticed Elias did not become a better actor in the past 16 years.
He did not, but I still love Elias in this, and I think he's possibly him and Randall. Him, honestly. We'll talk about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we'll talk about
it
in MVP because I got a new MVP for this one because the last two films it was Randall.
Yeah,
this one I got two new ones.
Well, I think
you probably know one.
Yeah, it has to be because this is like
this is his showcase.
It is.
He came out, bro.
Yes,
they even pointed out in the film.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. They do. They do.
So we'll talk about that in MVP. But let's get into some stats here. I'm not a fan of the stats of this movie.
Really?
Rotten Tomatoes, 63%.
Really?
Kind of low, man. Kind of low. But you know what? I think 2 was like somewhere. I think 2 was like 76 or something.
But wait, do you think the critics, if you're a fan of even just the first one,
you gotta have a little bit of love.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? Like, maybe some people never saw the other movies, which wouldn't make any sense.
And you gotta think, these are critics coming many, many years later.
Yeah.
So if these are critics who didn't grow up with Clerks,
they're
probably like, well, I saw the first one a year ago. They didn't have time to let it marinate either.
Yeah.
Because
it's
like the first one hits so much harder now than it did in 93.
And think about it, if your job is a critic, and let's say you went to school, you graduated, you became a critic for whether it's a newspaper or a website or whatever. Soon thereafter, you might not be able to relate to what these people are going through if you've never had this type of job.
Yeah, if you came right out of college and you became a movie critic, you'd be like, well, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a very niche kind of thing now that I think about it.
And we both work with the public, so we know this. We get this. We know all the scenarios are true for the most part.
Yes.
So, 63. IMDb, 6.2. So, the fans weren't as in love with it. I was kind of shocked by this.
Yeah, that's weird.
A little bit higher. I was thinking closer to 7 on that one. But Letterboxd, 3.1, which, again, I expected closer to like a 3.4 or 5. But whatever. But the people who love it, love it. You know, because I did read some user reviews. And
yeah.
I mean, the people who grew up with it, they're like, oh, I cried like a goddamn baby.
Yeah.
They're like, this shit hit me hard.
It reminds me, honestly, believe it or not, watching it this time around, I was like, wow, this is like Joker 2 before Joker 2 came out.
It really is.
It sounds crazy, but I can explain that a little further later.
Well, all right, then.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there so people can boo me.
Yeah.
Now.
But, you know, like we talked about, like I said, I think Joker 2 had the most potential of almost any movie this year. You know, the Joker 2, I don't think it would have beat out The Substance, but it could have been a top 5 movie of the year. Have we just fucking changed that ending up a little bit, man?
Well, see, I think I said before, the ending to me was like, who you thought was the hero really wasn't. You were making the wrong person the hero.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm comparing it to Clerks 3.
Message? Yes, I agree with that message.
Yeah.
I just fucking hate how it's done.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Oh, God, that movie was... The first hour and 40 minutes of that movie, I was like, I really don't understand why people are hating. I was like, it's going hard. The music numbers are done just right.
Yeah.
Gaga is absolutely incredible. Joaquin is absolutely incredible. I'm like, dude, the look of this film, I'm like, this shit is slapping. It's just a nice slow burning vibe. And then
But we like slow burners.
I appreciate slow burners. So yeah. You know, some people don't. Some people need and people still they're like, still the Joker, I still will expect some action and some. I'm like, look, man, you don't need a movie where he's acting a psycho for, you know, two and a half, three hours. But I'm like, dude.
Yeah, then that would just be a horror movie. The horror
movie, yeah. Like, there is some character development going on here.
What's that? And they, what are they?
We don't know what characters are, but whatever. We may have to do a Joker as a whole review. All right, so.
Hey, did you call the Joker an asshole? He's a Joker as a whole, right?
As a whole, yeah, okay. You know, he is kind of an asshole, but some love him.
Okay, Clerks 3.
Clerks 3. So this movie. Obviously, we know in the second one, they bought the Quick Stop back, and now we're jumping way ahead in the future. So,
yes.
First of all, the opening to this movie is great when you got that fucking MCR on.
Oh, my God.
God. After I watched that, I went to the gym after I watched it. I was the first song I put on when I started my workout. I was like, God, this song slaps.
That whole album is great to work out to. Yeah, bro. When I got into jogging for a little while, I would just jog to that whole album, man. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to stop running until it's over.
Yeah, bro, because it's the whole album tells the whole story from start to finish. It's pretty sick. But that was, I didn't think Kevin Smith would be an MCR type of guy.
They're from Jersey.
Oh, yeah. He probably knew about them way back.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense now. So that's dope. That makes a whole
and
lot
Gerard
of sense
Way being a comic book writer.
Yeah. So, you know what? They're probably friends.
They have to be.
Yeah, they got to be buddies. So that makes sense. So, because the rights to that song was probably expensive, he probably was like, "I got you on the line."
Yeah, probably. Because if Gerard Way was a fan, because he's my age,
so he grew up
with Clerks too. Yeah, sure. So he's probably like, "Yeah," and you have a huge comic store in Jersey,
I'm sure he's been to.
Yeah.
So I feel like. Yeah, because the budget for this movie, probably a fraction of what went to just that song.
Yeah.
So he probably got it for a few grand or whatever. But so you get them, you see him opening up the store, and we find a lot of stuff out without any dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Dex has died.
Yeah, because it has the in memoriam or whatever. Yeah.
And not only did she die, she died pretty much right after they got together.
Yes, and she was still pregnant. The baby wasn't born yet.
So I'm like, damn, he didn't even get to enjoy. That kind of set I think that's why I got so emotional so early on, because that set a tone. And I just watched all these back to back to back. So now I'm like super emotionally invested in these characters. So I'm like, damn, I just fell in love with Rosario Dawson last week and she's taken from me the next week.
Yes.
You know, so I think that's why you find that out right away. So I'm like, God, I'm already sad. This kid's son or daughter is dead, and his beautiful wife, which was way out of his league, but still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, because they did get married.
Yeah.
Because it was whatever, Scott Hicks was her last name, yeah.
And it's funny because I'm looking at Dante Rand and all the other characters, like all other, older actors they brought in, and I'm looking at Rosario, I'm like, this woman's aging like fucking wine. Like, everyone else is aging like cheese, bro. I'm like,
cheese, bro.
But I think Dante actually looks pretty good in this one.
He looks a lot better.
But he looked better. Yeah. Randall looks horrible. I'm like,
he does.
Randall,
that haircut is bad.
Yeah, I'm like, Randall, like, he just looked bad.
Yeah,
like,
the only good part was like his hair sticking out of
his hat. I'm like,
and that's just
because
it's backwards. So sticking out of that classic
super
part.
90s style. Like, yes. Backwards hat with the hair on the front.
He's kind of like Uncle Rico in that respect, but he's still living in the 90s.
Living in the 90s, bro.
Yeah.
You want to see my videos?
Yeah, whereas Rico was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Randall's in the 90s. Yeah.
But so you know that. So we're already like, well, okay, we're already sad. And you see the video store is now, it's not R, what was it, RSV or
RST.
RST. Now it's THC. Because Jay and Silent Bob own it and they sell weed out of it.
But they're still standing
in front. They're still standing in front trying to do it. That's how we did it in the 90s, son. And that's what I love about this damn movie, because it's a nostalgic ride to the max, but it also highlights all the shit going on right now. So yeah, it's a very compare and contrast type of thing. And I love that shit because I'm a huge, huge 90s fan, 90s guy. I love 90s music, movies, dress style, attitude, everything. But I am a product of this era. So unfortunately, I do live with this stuff and know about it. So it's fun to compare it. And don't get me wrong, not all the new stuff is bad, bro. This thing in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Let's keep it real. We can say it here.
Oh, he's holding his phone.
Oh, yeah. And people could probably guess that. I hope they didn't think I was holding something else while we're having a conversation here about Clerks 3.
He's really excited about it.
Yeah, so passionate. But, yeah, but, like, these cell phones, bro, like, let's keep it real. These things make no sense.
Oh, yeah.
Like, man, dude, like, if you put me back in the 90s, it's like, all right, no. Yeah, take that from you. Fuck.
But see, I remember rotary phones, payphones.
I remember all that too. But I've grown really attached to this damn thing. I can't lie.
But you know, if you go back in time, it would be easy because no one else would have it either.
Yeah, that is true, of course. But
the worst part would be going back to before they had like indoor plumbing.
Oh, that would be the worst. I ain't trying to go back that far. Yeah. No, that's way, way back. So
yeah.
No, keep me in the 90s. Or I'll take the 80s too. Now, the cool part is because we have this technology, everything was an adventure.
Yes.
You know, everything was a learning experience, you know. So, and that's what makes life fun. And I think that's why a lot of these Gen Zers have lost that passion for life and kind of lost that passion for adventure and exploring and taking chances and risk. So, and I think this movie shows a lot of that. And that's what makes it great. So, we get this great intro. And we just see the current state, what they're in, what they're doing. And they're running shit the same. The store runs the same. He puts the newspapers on the rack. It says, remember these?
Yeah.
I was like, that's funny. Yes. We don't buy no fucking newspapers no more. People might get the Sundays.
Yes.
But other than that, bro, unless you get it thrown at your doorstep now, nobody want to buy no damn newspapers like that.
That's sad.
It is sad. Because a lot of time and work went into those.
It used to be like, that can make or break big everything. Yeah.
Dude, watch The Sweet Smell of Success. Incredible Tony Curtis movie where the whole damn is Tony Curtis and Burt Lancaster, and because the whole movie's about a newspaper. It's absolutely incredible, but you see how important the paper was back then.
Your favorite film, Citizen Kane.
Oh, it's about a damn newspaper.
Well, it's about a guy who ran a newspaper, right? And because of who it was about, like literally in the real world, it kind of ruined Orson Welles' career.
It did, because he was gunning for him.
Was it like, William Randolph Hearst, right? The guy who would, like, he would use newspapers to, like, create wars.
Yeah.
Just to sell more papers.
And it's like, sorry, somebody called you out on it, dog.
Yeah.
And made what some would consider possibly the best movie ever made. I'm sorry, that's a very outdated take. If you still think Citizen Kane is the best movie ever made.
What really pissed him off is that Rosebud was that dude's nickname for his mistress's area.
Mm,
it wasn't a sled.
It's a good name.
Yeah. It is.
It's a good name. Kind of reminds me of Clerks too.
Yeah, it does.
Because, you know, talking about oversized things. But
yes.
That is wild. But, yeah, so you see that. And now we open up and things are the same. Randall and Dante run the store.
They're playing hockey on the roof.
On the roof, and that's fun. Randall and Dante run the store. Elias works there.
Yeah.
He's still a Jesus freak for now.
Yes.
And we see these guys doing their thing, hanging out, talking shit as usual. Well, pretty much right in the beginning of the movie, Mr. Randall suffers a heart attack, and that's kind of what sets the stage for the film. So he goes to the hospital, and while he's there, Elias is shaming God because he feels like he didn't save Mr. Randall.
Yeah.
And so now he believes Satan saved Mr. Randall. So now he's completely jumped ship
from God. He went from a Jesus freak to a Satanist. Satanic man.
Like, what was it? It was the Christian crypto club to the, what was the Satanic crypto club?
I know it was like an upside down cross.
Yeah, but I can't remember the damn name of it.
Yeah.
Was it the Common Crypto Club or something?
It was something like that.
But so Elias is sitting there going crazy, and you know, Mr. Dante is like, you need to calm down, bro. But it's funny, but it's kind of scary because, you know, Randall was really, he couldn't breathe. He was, oof. But his surgeon is the chick from Strangers with Candy.
Amy Sedaris. Yeah.
She is fucking great.
And isn't she in The Mandalorian?
She's in The Mandalorian, which is funny because they talk about it.
Yes.
And, you know, she looks great. Like, for how old she is, she looks the exact same as she did like 20 some years ago.
Because, like, they obviously made her look super ugly.
It made her look,
But, like, Amy Sedaris has always looked, she's always been a great looking woman.
Yeah, because I'm like, because you look at her in, like, Mando, and they make her look all rough because she's, like, a mechanic.
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm watching her, and this, I'm like, she's actually a pretty older lady. I was like, she looks really good.
She was better
than Randall.
I think on Max it might be, because it used to be on True TV, At Home with Amy Sedaris, because she likes to do crafty things.
Okay.
And it was a show that made fun of, like, those types of shows. And she's incredible.
That's funny.
Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah.
But yeah, so she's his surgeon, and she's like, we're going to fix you. Even though you only got a 20% chance to live, you're going to be in that 20%. And she's got
the Widowmaker.
Yeah,
right.
The Widowmaker. She's like, yeah, doesn't that sound like some Ranger Danger play? But he's going on. He's under a lot of drugs, and they're waiting for him in surgery. And he's telling her about the Mandalorian. And he says one of my favorite lines. He's like, and who comes out? Luke motherfucking Skywalker. And I'm talking about the fuckable Luke from Return of the Jedi, not the fucking Gran Torino Clint Eastwood get off my lawn Luke from Last Jedi. That shit is so funny. And I'm like, I love how he's telling her about the show that she is in. And I like that conversation because it does show you that although a lot of warheads do not like this Disney phase of Star Wars, everybody fucks with the Mandalorian. I'm like, if you gotta fuck with the first two seasons of Mando, if you're a Wars fan, they're fire. It's undeniable. Jon Favreau put that shit out. That shit was hot. So you just gotta love it, dude. Pedro, he's a man. Come on. So I do like that they highlight that because he pretty much is like, yo, Mando is lit. Everything else, throw that shit in the trash.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I gotta agree. Although I enjoy Last Jedi and Han Solo.
Yeah.
I could do it almost. And Rogue One. Hold up.
Yeah.
Rogue One is fire. But I could do it out.
What about Obi-Wan, that series?
Obi-Wan, the series was decent. It's not amazing. But we needed more Hayden Christensen. But it is good. It's good. I had fun with it. And I'm a Vader fan. So if you're a Vader fan, you'll like it. But I can't say it's for everyone. And same with Boba Fett. I like the first season. The rest is kind of like, they just took the wrong direction. It had a lot of potential. But whatever. We're not talking about Star Wars. We're talking about Clerks. So,
so they talk about Star Wars.
They talk about it a lot. We'll highlight it as we go along. And so she saves him. She gets that fucking stent in there. And he's like, I can breathe again. And of course, now he feels like he has a new lease on life. And Randall being the selfish, self-centered, every thought I have goes through my head needs to be expressed type of guy, has an idea to make a movie about his life. A guy who no one knows and cares about. But that's You know, I mean,
oh my God,
I mean, I'm not saying that's being asked, but I'm like, you're making a movie about your life specifically. Not a movie about something and you're interjecting things that's happened to you in it. You're making a movie about your life.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no one fucking knows you, bro. You know, you're just some guy from New Jersey, you know. But that's fine. Like, Kevin Smith waited 30 years to make a movie about his life, which the 4:30 movie. And I would just say that's about his childhood.
This movie is too. Yeah.
This is about his real life experience.
Yeah, because it's after he had his heart attack.
This is a story where he injected some real life shit that happened to him.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, whereas 4:30 movie
is kind of about his start, you know. And yes, this, I'm glad you brought that up because this movie is a direct reflection of what Kevin Smith, the director writer, was going through at the time and why he made some of the life changes that he made at that time. We can get into those. But Randall's like, I'm making my
life. And he pretty much is going through and coming up with ideas. And we get a lot of funny little stuff going on. But he ultimately lands on, I'm going to make it about working in the store. And but this guy working in the store, like you said earlier, they're almost like one dude. So he acts like he's all that, and Randall's like third, fourth lead in this. They're not, or Dante is like third, fourth lead in this. He had Elias higher build. Yeah, he's Dak. Dak. Like, they explain who Dak is in the movie, but Dak is his second in command, and he gets fucking murdered in two. He's in the movie for 4 seconds. Dak, Dak, and Dak's gone. Yeah, Dak gets killed, and he's gone. And it's actually, that's one of my favorite scenes from Empire Strikes Back. But whatever, Dak gets murked. And Dak is so small that most people don't even know who he is. But they talk about Lobot in that scene, too. And he's like, well, who's Lobot? He's like, he's the old dude with the headphones. Looks like a DJ.
The guy we like.
Yeah, we like him, bro. Yeah. He's dope. He, like, he's remotely commanded. But so they do talk about the wars a lot. But Randall's basically excluding Dante, not excluding him from his movie because he wants him to be his producer, which... that's the hardest job of a movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you got to make all the fucking money.
Yeah.
Which we all know that's the hardest part about making a movie is obtaining the money for
it. You got to raise the funds. You got to get the locations. You got to do all that stuff. Especially on an independent
film. An independent film. And everybody needs a little something because this isn't people's job. So you're taking away from their time. So you got to pay them something.
Yeah.
And Dante is doing everything he can to help this man and make this movie. And this whole time, Randall is being selfish, selfish, selfish. Me, me, me. It's all about me and my movie and what I want. Meanwhile, Dante is grieving so hard still.
Still 16 like 16 years later.
Years later because he found his person.
Yeah.
And she was pulled from him. So they didn't even get... that's what makes me sad about it. They didn't even get to create the life yet.
No.
Which... maybe would be worse because now you really know what you had and it's taken from you. I don't know. Yeah. I can't say.
I think that's what made Dante's story more tragic.
Oh yeah, because it's like you were right at the finish line for happily. Like he said, I think he says a line like, "I was supposed to live happily ever after, and I got cut off right when I was there." You know, and that's what happened. Dude was about to have a nice woman that he got along with that loved him for. Him, she didn't care. He was a fucking clerk. She didn't care. He worked at a
hideous
fucking show. Yeah, she didn't care that he was ugly. She didn't care that he worked at a convenience store, a fast food joint, whatever. She liked him for him. And when you find a girl like that, bro, you make that shit work. And especially if she look like that, really make that shit work. Yeah, I'm like, I'll probably throw a ring on that shit too. I'm like, you know what, bro? Am I really gonna do better? Probably not. So
never.
Let's go ahead and lock this shit down. So that, like you said, that is what makes it more tragic. And it's funny going through making the movie because we get the auditions.
Yeah.
And we see a bunch of dope stars from the 90s.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, the black dude from Chappelle's Show.
Donnell Ross.
Donnell Ross. Yes. He's fucking Ashy Larry. He's fucking Ashy hilarious. Larry, yeah. I'm finna go from Ashy to Classy. That shit is so funny, bro. He said, put some clothes on and put some lotion on.
Like, wait. Isn't he the guy who's like, I'm rich, bitch?
Yes, I'm rich, bitch. She said, now that you've made this money, are you going to continue being a truck driver? He said, truck driver? I ain't no truck driver. I'm a janitor. He said, I just bought this truck cash. I got enough cigarettes to last me and my family the rest of our lives. God, the reparations episode. So funny, bro. He said chicken has shot up to $46 a bucket. I'm like, bro, that is crazy. Watermelon sales surprisingly low. That shit is fucking hilarious. Do not get me started on Chappelle's Show, bro. That's one of the best shows ever made. But because I find racist humor funny. But so the auditions are great. Like, Freddie Prinze Jr. is actually pretty funny in his audition. And, like, you see he's gotten older. He's got gram, but he still looks pretty good.
Yeah,
He aged out nice. Sarah Michelle Gellar looked decent, too. But, man, Veronica comes through. I didn't realize it, though. I feel bad because I was saying it last week. So let me go ahead and give her an apology because I thought she was their age. She's like 9 years older than them.
Is she?
Yes. I didn't know that.
So for that?
For that.
She's like pushing 60.
Yeah. So I'm like, God, this woman looks rough for like 50. But I'm like, okay, never mind. You're 10 years older.
Yeah.
I apologize. You don't look that bad no more, Veronica.
Wait, a quick aside. Two people that were in that audition, besides the Impractical Jokers, mm-hmm. that were there.
They were there, yep.
And Bobby Moynihan mm-hmm. from SNL.
There were some other people.
Melissa Benoist and Chris Wood. She was Supergirl in the Supergirl TV show, mm-hmm. and Chris Wood was Mon-El in the Supergirl TV show, which Kevin Smith directed a few episodes.
He directed some, so he must have made a friendship there.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they're actually buddies because mm-hmm. they worked together a few times.
I feel like he'd be a really fun and easy director to work for because he was basically – I know he is like a kind of stick to the script kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, I know
especially if he writes it.
I know because you would think there'd be a lot of improv and ad-libbing in this movie, but apparently it's not much. I guess he's very, like, sticks to the script. But it's
because there's that scene where Randall's like, hey, it's how read it how,
read
it, was
it, how it was written.
And, you know, Silent Bob's like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And even though I actually think the way Dante spit it was better, but that was my personal opinion. I was like, I think it flowed more and was more conversational.
You forgot the and.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Yeah, what?
That's what, just like when we talked about Boogie Nights, when he's like, she's got an ass in her cock.
Oh, yeah.
That's great because when you're in a moment like that, you fuck up words sometimes.
Yes,
you make mistakes.
It's more natural.
It's more natural. It feels real. That's why I liked the way Dante spit the line more. It just felt more conversational between two people. But
I'm sorry, you're talking about Veronica.
Yeah, so Veronica, she comes through and she's pissed off because they wrote her in the movie, and of course they discussed 37,
and
they kind of make her look slutty, which I'm not gonna say she was slutty, but to blow 37 dudes before 25 is kind of crazy. Like, dude, you on average you probably slurp about 4 different dudes a year at least since the time you started slurping GURPS. So that's a good amount. It has a good amount.
Hey,
you know, there's some girls who's never even seen that many, you know, in person.
Yeah,
you know
look, so all those guys must have been hard up.
They definitely were.
Yeah. You know?
But it's crazy, bro. I was just listening to this documentary about this OnlyFans girl from the UK. She slept with 100 men in one day. They each got 5 minutes, and they started from morning. They took breaks in between so she could stretch and eat and, you know.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm like, wow.
I don't think that's a Guinness record, though.
It's not.
Yeah.
You have to hit 4 digits or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's going for that now. She wants to get 1,000 men in a day. I'm like, so what do they get, 30 seconds each, a couple different pumps? Like,
yeah.
4 or 5 pumps, and that's that.
Yeah, but, like, would you want to be, like, the 1,000? I can't
even talk. No, I got to be first. I got to be first.
Yeah.
I'm not banging any chick who's signed up for this.
Yeah, yeah. What's she want to do? Star and Stretch Armstrong?
That's what I'm saying, bro. And I'm like, man, could you imagine walking into that room and smelling it after, like, dude 15?
It's bad enough when a woman tells you she had 5 guys for lunch.
Yeah.
And you're like, how are you still walking?
How are you still walking, yeah. Especially if we went and the optional, you know. But
yeah,
I was like, wow. I was like, you know, even as a man, if somebody's like, Dom, you get 100 chicks in one day. Well, that's too much, fella. I'm like, God damn, what do you think I am? A robot? Like, shit.
But then it would probably be the same thing. Like, all right, you get, okay.
Yeah, they're not, I'm not timing from each of them. Like, you get a couple strokes.
No one can see me miming a timer.
You're like, but yeah. All right, honey, you probably get about 8 to 15 strokes, and that's that. You know,
yeah.
Sorry, you don't get the cum shot.
Yeah, but as long as it counts, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
I guess. I mean, I got in it, so yeah. You know,
that's
tally marks. That's fucking nuts, bro. Like 3 in a day sounds. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, that's 3 different showers you got to take. It's like, bro, I'm not trying to shower 3 times in one day.
But if you're doing that,
I mean, if somebody was like, all right, Dom, you got Rachel S. You got Jessica Chastain and Bryce Dallas, 1 at noon, 1 at 3, and 1 at 6. Best believe, I'm going to take all them appointments.
So, like, I I had a terrible question I'm not going to ask.
Don't ask it. Yeah, well,
I won't.
I'm remembering because now I'm curious what it is. But, but anywho, that's not what we're talking about. So, yeah, 37 is a lot. So she's upset about that. Veronica's upset about the way they portrayed her. And she comes in and she starts snapping and she's like, I have a family and a life, and kind of then she clicks and she's like, oh shit, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Dante lost his.
That's the first time it kind of sets him off.
Yeah. Yep. And then it was kind of just a downward spiral from there.
But it's also because she cared enough after she said it to realize, like, oh shit. Damn,
dude. I did love this guy at one point. At one point. I mean, dude, if things would have been different, if he wouldn't have been so hung up on a whore, me and this dude might have had a family.
And you know? And the thing is, like, Randall was never that considerate to him.
Hell no.
So it does kind of clue you in then, after Clerks, they didn't get back together.
No, they did not.
And he didn't get back together with Caitlin, obviously.
Obviously. And
so, because she was in a mental ward.
Yeah, you know, after fucking a dead guy.
Yeah, he was hard up.
Yes, he really was. My ex-girlfriend's catatonic from fucking a dead guy. And my current girlfriend has sucked 36 cocks. 37. It does sound kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you just told somebody that as a blanket statement, you'd be like, man, your life is kind of... So they end up, she apologizes, and they end up having sex in her Range Rover. Which is pretty funny.
And oh, yeah, because Jay starts...
Yo, that shit, we'll get there in quotes, because I got that in quotes. So, that shit is hilarious. But Randall, you know, which I'm glad Dante got that in, because I guarantee you...
You're glad he got that in.
Yeah, I'm glad he got that in, for real. Which we'll...
Because it's probably been 16 years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, bro, this bull probably at most had sex maybe 2 to 5 times since this woman has died.
This guy's
probably just been stroking since then, you know? And I get it, bro. He's older, and you lost who was probably going to be your life partner in your early, mid-30s?
Yeah.
Y'all supposed to have fucking 40-plus more years. Like, so... That's tough. I couldn't imagine, bro. Like, I really couldn't. One drunk driver. And I'm like, fuck you, drunk driver, bro. But stay under the legal limit. But anyway, so Dante, he's, you know, I guess I gave him some temporary pleasures. But they go on, they keep making this movie, and it's getting deeper and deeper. Jay and Silent Bob are involved now. Yeah. Bob has become the DP.
Oh, which is great.
It's great. And because he spits out a lot of... Of course, he's a director, so he spits out a lot of interesting little artist notes on how to properly shoot a film and what you should look for. And I thought that was funny, because obviously it's coming from a character who doesn't speak.
Yeah.
And whenever Silent Bob speaks in any of these films, it's to say something important. So I thought that was cool. And Jay is just being Jay, and he's hilarious as usual. Elias is...
You like him as the goth,
satanic. I love satanic goth, guy. Satanic, chunky Elias. Because this guy's gained about 100 pounds.
Yeah. What's Blade Runner?
Yeah, what's, bro? Of course, I have that in quotes. I'm like, as soon as he walked in, I'm like, why is my man dressed like Chris? I'm like, he's dressed like a woman. I'm like, you're dressed like a pleasure doll from a sci-fi movie from 1980 fucking.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, yeah, yeah.
Because 81 would have been Raiders.
81 was Raiders.
Yeah. Raiders, like, Blade Runner, then Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. Then it was Temple of Doom and Witness.
Bro, what a like 6-7 year run that is for Harrison Ford. Holy hell.
If he would have stopped acting after like Witness, it wouldn't have mattered.
He would have had so much money and legacy, bro.
He still would have had like 3 Star Wars movies and 2 Indiana Jones movies.
2 indie movies.
And Blade Runner.
And Blade Runner.
Yeah. And Witness, which is actually a great film.
And he got an Oscar nod for that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and hometown, man. Come on.
Yeah, Strasbourg.
Like, yo, that's what's up. I'm like, that's the main thing I love about Witness. Watching it now is just like, man, it's in the backyard, you know? It's pretty cool. But
Danny Glover.
Danny Glover, always good. Yeah. You know, I'm always good. Always. I just Kelly watched Predator McGillis. 2. Yeah, she was good.
Yeah. Better than Top Gun. I hate that movie. The first one.
Hate Top Gun.
You were right about the second one, but the first one was still trash.
Bro, I told you. I was like, you did. I'm like, this is coming from a guy who does not like the first Top Gun, bro. I'm like, I hate Top Gun. It's terrible. I'm like, this movie is terrible. And I see why Val Kilmer didn't want to do it, but he was contractually obligated.
Yeah.
I'm like, I see why Val Kilmer didn't want to do this role. And he's like, I'm sidekick to fucking punk ass Tom Cruise. Fuck that.
Yeah.
But even though they're cool now, you know what I mean? But I don't think they really fuck with each other making it, the first one at least.
Yeah, probably not.
But it took, Val Kilmer was, he was so full of himself at that time.
Oh, yeah. He would have had to have been.
Oh, my God.
It was right after Top Secret, right before Willow.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And he was like a handsome dude at the time, you know?
Yeah,
yeah. And then like, then by 92, you had Tombstone by then.
Oh, yeah.
Val Kilmer was like, I can do no wrong. Fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Because then he did The Doors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I love fucking. Because The Doors for Tombstone.
Yeah, it was 90.
It was 90. Yeah. Yeah. And Tombstone was 92. So, oh, God, I love. How he didn't get an Oscar nom for that? Insane. Insane. He looks just like me. Actually, just like Jim, bro. It's crazy. Anywho. So, where was I?
We're talking about
DP, Kevin Smith.
Yeah. Talking about how they're shooting the film. And we were talking about Elias.
Yeah, like, Elias. Sidetracked because his dress. And we started talking about Blade Runner. So, Elias is total, like, satanic goth. What's great about it is he goes through different goth stages.
Yes.
Through it, he's got his Robert Smith like Cure stage going on. He's got his sci-fi goth stage. He's got his satanic goth stage. He's got like his hood goth stage, like with the baggy clothes and the big fucking pentagram chain. Yeah. I'm like, this motherfucker. Like, he has, that's what's great. It's stages of gothism. Like, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
So he's funny as hell. And he progresses, and Jay is just high and retarded the whole time. Excuse my language. I mean, just high and dumb the whole time. Like, dude, he's like, I thought his name was Sergio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Instead of Dante.
Yeah. He's like, anything for my boy Sergio. I'm like, this mother. He said that there. It's dental school. Me and Lunchbox here rented that shit in 92, bro.
Yeah.
Never returned it. He said, why isn't it rewound if you never watch it? He said, we said we didn't have a VCR. We never said we didn't watch it. Me and Fat Boy here held that shit up to the light, son. I'm like, this motherfucker, bro. So
your favorite fictional film,
dental dude, my school. Favorite fictional film that I've was literally about to be like, bro, we gotta cover dental school. I literally thought it was real. I'm like, they talk about dental school so much throughout this fucking series. I thought it was a real fucking movie. Especially because, like, they talk about in the first one, she's like, oh, it's right there in the window. I'm like, oh, this is a real damn movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, and I'm thinking it's probably a bad movie.
It would have to be.
It's like one of those movies you watch one night when you're fucking at a sleepover with your homies and y'all either drunk or high, and you just watch this shit. This is the dumbest shit. We had a good time. Like, one of them type of movies. But so they're going through and they run out of money. And of course, Dante, being the great friend he is, calls Emma, his ex fiance, who he cheated on at a donkey show. And got another girl pregnant.
Yes.
And hit that two-timing motherfucker with this! That shit is funny. But and he calls her, he FaceTimes her, and she's living a great life like we knew she would.
Hmm.
Got standing in front of a pool in the sunshine. He's in freezing cold New Jersey.
Yeah.
Wearing a clerk shirt. So, yeah. But he owns it, so it's different. But
that is true.
When you own it, it's different being an owner than an employee. But he asked her to borrow the money. And not only that, he puts up his half of the store for collateral. And he's such a good friend. He doesn't even tell Randall about this. He never tells Randall about this, even when things come to a head. And Emma's like, fuck you. I'd rather do some for your ass than for Randall. Yeah, you know what I mean? And you did me dirty as hell.
Oh, yeah, because he tells her it's for medical bills.
Yeah, and she's like, fuck, she's like, he should have died. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's crazy to me is Emma is played by Kevin Smith's wife, the mother of their lovely, lovely daughter.
Sister Sugar Walls, yes.
And I would love to find out how sweet. Anywho, but
Oh my.
She looks better now than she did back then. I'm like, as a 50-something-year-old woman, you look great. I'm like, as a 30-something-year-old woman, you were looking not great. like, cause she's not good looking. I still don't think she's good looking, but I'm like, she looks good and age appropriate now. Like, I'm like, now I'm like, oh, you just look like a regular looking middle-aged woman.
Yeah.
And Clerks too. I'm like, they're making her out to be like, oh, she's so hot. She wouldn't have gave you the time of day. I'm like, I guess. I'm like, I guess. I wouldn't have looked twice at this chick in the hallway, but whatever. But Emma's funny as hell. I like her, that the real person. What's her name?
Jennifer Schwalbach.
Jennifer Schwalbach. That's the name. I like her because she's been riding with her husband for a long time. Been hella supportive, acting in roles. I'm sure she's helped write stuff.
Do you remember that one episode of the animated series of Clerks? They're reading like viewer mail.
Mm-hmm.
One of the viewer mail is from Jennifer Schwalbach.
Ah, I didn't think about that. Yeah. See, she's dope. I mean, she's a. I'm sure she's. Girl, you probably couldn't ask for a cooler wife. She's probably cool shit. Probably watch movies with you all day.
Yeah.
Down to eat some junk food and all day.
I noticed she is like one of the producers of probably his last album.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sure she's fucking.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's
that's
throwing in some. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's. And it's like, for her, I'm sure it's like, dude, it's better than working a real job. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, we get to work together, and you do what you love.
You do what you love. I'm sure she loves it, too.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's like, this shit is fun, bro. And you get to work with your daughter now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure Sister Sugar Wells grew up on sets.
Grew up on sets. And she's like, I get to watch, now I get to work with my daughter. Like, I'm sure it's fun, because she's in, what, Clerks 2, 3. She's in Silent Bob, the reboot.
Yoga Hosers,
which I still need to watch, actually. I want to watch it because you know my girls.
Yeah.
Because it's Margaret Qualley, too, right?
It's Rose Lily Depp.
Oh, it's Lily Rose Depp. That's right. That's right. My bad. Wrong skinny girl. but, my bad. I mean, I love both of them. Like, shit, Margaret Qualley, that bitch is good,
man.
That's my girl's daughter, Andie McDowell. Oh, Andie McDowell. You know I love her, bro. That's a Silver Foxy Fox too, but they kill it. So, but these guys, she gives them money. She loans them money, and so now they can go ahead and finish this movie up. And he doesn't tell them, and they start actually getting the shit kind of together. They're filming scenes in the store. They're having fun, and. You know, Dante, though, is just getting increasingly upset with Randall because Randall is being so, so selfish about this whole thing. This is their movie, whether he wants it to be or not. It's their movie because it's their story.
Yes.
Because
but Randall can't see.
He can't see that. And everyone else does but him.
Yes.
That's why everyone's like, dude, he's pretty much just as important. And it's like, so not only am I a producer in your movie, I'm acting in your movie.
Oh, yeah, because Randall has a brilliant idea then. Instead of Dan T and Randy.
Randy, yeah.
Just be Randall and Dante. Yeah, that way they can act
they
in
can
it,
act
too,
in
to
it.
Save money
yep.
and save everything.
Yeah. And it's funny as hell because, obviously, they look old as shit playing guys who are supposed to be, like early
30
20s.
Years younger, yeah.
And that's what makes it funny, too. But they're having a good time though for the most part. Like at least Randall is. And it seems like everyone else making the film is too. And it's funny as hell because you just see them comparing things from now to back then. It's like they're talking about like he's like, I don't need a film school, work in a video store. He's like, tell that to Quentin Tarantino. He said, You think you're gonna make a movie as good as Tarantino? He's like, nah, I ain't saying that. I'm like, yeah, Tarantino's one of a kind in that way. But he's like, they spend $70,000 a year to do what? To watch fucking movies. like, I feel like 70% of film school watch movies. You know what I mean?
It would have to be just to kind of see the
you
techniques.
You gotta see the
and
techniques.
Everything.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You gotta watch them. You know what I mean? You gotta watch them.
And then you kind of, obviously, you would do a deep dive into what that technique is and what goes into it. So there is that knowledge behind it instead of just, oh, look at that. What's that? That shot, that Hitchcock shot you were talking about.
The dolly zoom.
Dolly zoom,
yeah. That's a great
Like I know what it is, but how do you do that technically?
Uh-huh, and then they even explain
it
to you.
Yes,
yeah. I mean, it sounds like Spike Lee got a whole lot out of NYU when he went, because he, all kinds of techniques. I mean, he like, because you know he has the double dolly zoom where it looks like he always makes the shots where it looks like people are floating.
Yeah.
Like, He said he didn't invent that. I forgot what director he said he took that from. He's like, it just kind of became synonymous with me. But he was like, I saw someone else do that first, and I just kind of mixed it with the Hitchcock deal.
Yeah.
And slowed it down and made it my own. But he's like, that's tech shit I learned in school.
Well, dude, these guys went to NYU.
Who are these guys?
These guys are the state. They were on MTV back like 30 years ago. It was a sketch comedy show on MTV. It should be on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
But, you know, some of the guys are on Reno 911 now.
Oh, okay.
And they've done everything since then. Yeah, but they did a Zoom reunion in June of 2020, and then they released
it. They made this shirt. Yeah. That's kind
of
dope.
Because one of these guys drew this shirt of them doing the Zoom reunion.
I love this guy with the fucking fur on or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's Thomas Lennon, who's like, if you saw him, you'd know him. He's the guy that wears the shorts in Reno 911.
Okay. All right. I definitely know him.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's probably one of the funniest guys ever and one of the best comedy writers in a long, long time. He's incredible. Anyway, they also went to NYU. That's where they're at.
NYU seems to be the spot for film school.
Yeah.
But so it gets wild here because, like I said, Dante is just getting so frustrated with Randall because Randall is just being so inconsiderate, just talking about me, my death, my almost died. He's like, you almost died. We know. We've heard it 1,000 fucking times. The boy who lived. Exactly. And he's just like, Randall just really can't see the error in a lot of his ways. And there's a dope scene where they're shooting the fight scene from the original Clerks.
Oh, yeah. Salsa Shark.
And they're, this like light-skinned black lady, her daughter and her husband, I guess they work for a newspaper.
The daughter is like a local high school newspaper chick.
Because
Randall wanted Dante to get some news coverage.
Some
press. And that's the only one he could get.
Yeah, it's like he got this high school chick. So this young student and her parents come to watch and I guess essentially review what they saw of the scenes. And yo, this lady's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like, they're both, both the daughter and the mom are both named Lisa.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite quotes is, he said, oh, hi, little Lisa. Don't call her little Lisa, and you better not call me big Lisa. Bro, I started dying. I was like, that's something a chick like that would definitely say, bro. I was cracking up. I was like, whoever wrote this character, they did a pretty good job. But they're in there, and bro, Dante just loses it on Randall film scene while they were acting, and it was brilliant. And this is what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, like his best acting ever.
Ever in his life.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, if you would have put something like this out 20 years ago, you might be like an actor.
Yeah.
Because he put it down, bro. He really pulled that out of his ass. I would have never thought either of them had that kind of performance in them. And that was a scene stealing performance. Like, he stole the whole scene. Like, you forget everything else that's going on because he's just laying it out, and it gets you right in your emotions. So much so that the reviewers are like, yo, that's some acting. Give it up. They clap.
Yes. Yeah.
The light skinned black chick, I was like, is she going to be an issue?
Yeah.
She's bitching the whole time.
Oh, yeah. And talking about her husband.
Going
to the strip club.
Going to the strip club, spent all my fives. What'd she say she spent it on? It was her lunch or something like that. I forgot what she said she spent the fives on. But it was like, she was like, I'll use that to get my lunch or some shit. It was funny as hell. But he lays it down, but of course, tragedy strikes. Him getting worked up like that sent him into his own fucking heart attack.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what? It's like, that's where you don't see that coming, because you're like, well, the guy who didn't have a heart attack at all has one, but the film does hint at it. Because
the doctor earlier said, you need to watch yourself too.
Because she's like, you eat the same shit he does.
Yeah.
She's like, then y'all the same age. Y'all are pretty much in the same health state. So
if you're looking out for him, you got to look out for yourself.
I'm like, I think it's just that movies I ate. I'm like, I would not eat no motherfucking movies.
Well, you know, Dante didn't.
Hell no.
Because there's that scene where they're going to film the donkey show. And he can't even go into the movies because he keeps seeing Becca.
Yep. Yep. And so, you know, he might have been a drive-through boy, but walking. He ain't definitely in a lobby kid.
No, he still has PTSD.
Yep. Yeah. I get it, you know. Especially because that's where you guys met and fell in love. It's not like y'all met there, like you bought a hamburger and you thought she was cute. You know, you wrote your number on the receipt.
Yeah.
No, you guys were there every day.
They smashed on the condiment
table. Yeah. Yep. She got pregnant off the jizz on the toilet seat. Fucking Randall. Fucking psycho. But he saw her in that purple shirt more than anything else.
Yes.
You know, so I get that. Movies is like kind of synonymous with your relationship. So that's kind of wild. But he goes to the hospital and he's not doing as good as Randall was.
No, he's not.
And Randall's being a dickhead and Elias has to call him out finally.
And that's, I think, his best acting. That was his
best acting, when he called out Randall there. Because Randall's like, well, he's here. He'll be all right. I'm going to go work on my movie. And Elias is like, your movie. You're going to go, are you fucking kidding? Your best friend's in the hospital with a heart attack.
Yeah.
You don't need to go anywhere. And he's like, well, I'm not doing either of us any good just sitting here. He would want me to go. He's like, he had a heart attack. He'll be fine. I have one. Just because you live don't mean the next guy is.
Yeah.
And Elias tells Randall that he borrowed the money from Emma. And they're wheeling Dante in. And Randall kind of freaks out and he starts screaming like, I didn't know, and all this stuff. And Dante realizes he's an asshole.
Escort him out.
And that's when Dante realized, wow, I really do fucking suck. And
or Randall.
Randall, sorry. Yeah, Randall's like, I realize I really do fucking suck. And so he starts breaking this film down, editing it up, and he starts really going to town on it. And he comes and he makes the movie. We don't see the movie, which we don't need to see.
We see
the clips. And we know what movie it is. We've seen Clerks.
Yeah.
So,
and Clerks too.
Mm-hmm, and Clerks too. So what's sad is he brings his laptop to the hospital and Dante's in there not looking good, man. He was looking rough. And Dante starts watching the film. And
this is like the most emotional part of the film.
It is. Like, this hits you.
Yeah.
It is for sure.
Because his film is Clerks and Clerks 2.
Mm-hmm. And he just saw a recap of his life with his best friend. And I know Dante's character had a lot of thoughts going on while he was watching that.
Yes.
So much so that I think he felt like his life was complete. Because I think Dante probably could have lived. He was probably young enough and healthy enough to overcome this.
Yeah.
But I think he felt like, I've done it all. And it's time for me to go be with my queen. Because I had to hear a story about her having sex with all these other rich, famous people in heaven. And I want to go and fuck her too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She did say that.
She's like, all there is to do in heaven is fuck. That's why they call it heaven.
But I think, like, one of the things that made him able to let go, besides watching the film with Becca in that movie theater, was when Randall said, you were always the hero of my movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. He was always the Luke.
Yeah, he was always the Luke. Yeah. And I think that's because, you know, sometimes when people are on their way out, they need to be told, like, it's okay to let go.
Yep.
And I think that's, like, knowing that Randall actually appreciated him for the very first time.
First time.
Allowed him to let go and be happy. And because I think it was after that Becca came in to watch with
him. She watched with him. And then she's like, don't you want to watch the end? He's like, I trust the director.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, I know. Isn't that? You get emotional just thinking about it.
Oh, it's like, it was bad.
It's like now he does.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you get it now.
Yeah.
You get it now. And that's, ugh. He said, it's not only, but he said, the director's my best friend, too. I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
But it's sweet, though, because you know it's like, you're going to be with this woman now.
Yeah.
It's a sick ending, bro. It's like, it's probably Kevin Smith. It's probably his best written ending.
I think so, because then you have the funeral.
Yep.
Which
Sister Sugar Walls pulls up to that, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're back. That eulogy.
Randall's. You're back at the store.
Yeah.
And who comes in?
Emma.
Emma.
Emma doing her impression of Leonardo Leonardo from the cartoon, right?
Yep, yep.
Well played, Clerks.
Well played, Clerks, yep. And she's coming to collect because yes. Guess what? He owed her 30 bands.
Yeah.
And luckily, the Crypto Club, Elias and his little minion started. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember either.
He's not a real Silent Bomb.
No,
he ain't that great.
He was better in the 430 movie.
Yeah, anyway. He was. He was way better. Yeah, that's him.
Yes.
Yeah, he's way. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why Sister Sugarwalls looks at him at the funeral.
Yeah, that is right.
She's like, hey. And he's like, yeah.
It's crazier. Together in real life. Lucky little bastard. But. So, Elias and the homie. They hit it big on crypto. They made $1 million in one night.
Yeah.
So they buy her out.
Yeah.
They're like, cool. And I'm like, hey, now they are co-owners.
Yeah.
So Elias, you got Elias, the homie, Randall, they're at the store. Quickstop will live on. THC will live on. And unfortunately, Dante will be a memory no one will ever forget. But, you know, the whole last about 20 minutes is quite emotional.
Yeah, it is.
It hits hard. And then, you know. You get some great credits as usual, and that's the film. And I think it leaves you happy and sad all at once because it's a great way to end a real series or end a great series with great characters that we've grown and love. And it's nice to really tie it up because you know we ain't getting Clerks 4, and we don't need Clerks 4.
No, because Randall finally matured.
He matured. They finally. Both got. It's almost like both got the salvation. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did.
But the one thing we got to discuss is this was a reflection on Kevin Smith's real life.
Yeah.
Because he had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And he almost died. He had to change his habits. He went vegan, stopped eating all the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He probably stopped drinking. He probably stopped doing everything he was doing.
Yeah. Does he still smoke weed?
I know
he's famous for smoking
yeah,
weed.
He is. I know he was smoking weed a lot. I think he stopped for a little bit, but I feel like he smoked weed again.
Yeah.
He probably is.
Because I know Muse like got straight too.
He got straight. He was on hard shit.
Yeah, he wasn't on like weed is weed.
Weed is weed. I think he was a meth heroin guy or something like that. Because he didn't have no teeth. Like you see he's got those crispy new veneers.
Oh, like, that explains how he's enunciated.
Uh-huh. I'm like, he's got those crispy new veneers, so like because he got them first in the reboot, and you could tell they were new because, you know, like the lips, it takes a while for your lips to, like, form over them. Like,
yeah.
He looks a lot better in Clerks 3 than he does in the reboot because in the reboot, they were brand new. It almost looks like you don't have no teeth because that, you know how people's mouths get when they don't have teeth for a long time. So, yeah, so he got the crispy new veneers. But, so, yeah, Kevin Smith. He had to change his life, and he credits Harley Quinn a lot of it for getting him on the healthy track with the diet and stuff, and he changed everything about himself, and it kind of opened his eyes and gave him new light and kind of a new lease on life. So the combination, he's really more of the Randall character, but I think he's got the emotions and the love that Dante has because he does have a family, and he does have a daughter, and he has something to live for. So. He knew he was going to fight for his life the whole time. So both of these characters are a combination of him and what he was currently going through at that time. And I'm glad he pulled through and changed his life because we wouldn't have got this movie. We wouldn't have got 430. We wouldn't have got the reboot. Like,
you're right.
It would suck. And not only because we wouldn't get those movies, but Kevin Smith, man, he's a great guy to have on this planet with great ideas and, you know, a good outlook on life. I always like hearing him speak. So I'm glad Kevin Smith. Live, so.
I know you like his daughter. You know he and his daughter have a podcast together.
I might have to listen to it.
It's called Beardless Dickless Me.
I love that.
It's actually the name of the podcast.
That's a good one. So
yeah.
Let's get into the categories.
Okay.
So, MVP.
Honestly, Kevin Smith and Brian O'Halloran.
Kevin Smith, Brian O'Halloran. I also got Trevor Furman.
Oh, really?
Elias.
Yeah.
Love Elias in this. He really, because he kind of takes the Silent Bob or the Jay role kind of in this one a little bit. Because he's like, obviously, Jay and Silent Bob are in this, but Elias and his minion are like they're in the store all the time.
Yeah,
they're
there all the time.
They, so
I never thought of it that way. You're absolutely right.
Elias is a really big role in this one. He talks a lot. He is a just like how Jay bought them the Quick Stop. Jay and Silent Bob bought them the Quick Stop in the second one. Elias saves it in this one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They kind of
right.
take place like they don't sell drugs, they do crypto.
Yeah.
You know, they're not stoners or goths. You know, it's just a different version of them. You know, like he said, he was like, Jay and Silent Bob are like C3 and R2. And I'm like, these guys are like BB-8 and
Ray?
Yeah, oh, they don't really have a new walking tall bot.
No,
they
no.
realize
they
how
don't.
Bad C3 was. But but that's really, you know, kind of the comparison. But yeah, I guess the little guy would be more of a BB-8.
Yeah.
But see, yeah, I got them for MVP.
Yeah, I could see that. Because he did, yeah, he was better than he was in Clerks 2.
He had to take a big step up.
Yeah.
Like, he had a much bigger role. So,
yeah.
And he don't act like that either. I think he's been in 6 total movies.
Really?
Yeah, so he doesn't act.
Clerks 2 is probably his first one.
Clerks 2 is his first movie. So, yeah. And the other ones ain't big. Clerks 2 and 3 are his biggest films. So,
wow.
Peak season. I had no one.
I'd say Dante.
You know what? You're right.
You're right.
Because I was thinking
that scene, man.
Was one, but that one scene.
That scene, man.
Season. You're right. It's his best performance. You're right. Yeah. I don't know if it's. Yeah, it's his most important too. You're right. Yeah. We'll go with that.
Because look, before this film came out, it would have been the first
one. It would have been the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that for sure. All right, we'll definitely go with that. All right. Quotes, I'm going to just start going through.
Yeah, you might as well.
There's
so many.
These
films
Kevin
are
Smith
just
movies.
Quotable.
Yeah, they're dialogue films. So, you know. All right. What are you looking at that? What you looking at? That's how we did it in the 90s, son.
when they're
throwing the money up and when they're selling it to the young dude.
Yeah.
That shit's funny.
Because they're playing like
they're all like, it's like, bro, you're legally selling this shit.
It's legal now.
Legally owned store. It's always a Lord of the Rings thing or a Jesus thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about Elias.
Looks like Elias got his own Silent Bob.
Yeah.
Jesus, these Gen Z kids suck.
Oh.
I was like, man, I feel that. Only way you'd sell one of those kites is if you made a TikTok of you shoving that kite up your Christian dickhole.
Oh, Randall.
Randall.
The Jesus kites.
The Jesus kites.
Yeah.
They sold them all, though.
They did, yeah.
Oh, it's all right. I just ate too much fucking movies. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
Starts getting a heart attack.
Yeah.
He's not going to make it. Jesse, can someone page the good witch? Fucking Justin Long is always great in these small Kevin Smith movies.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Dude, he's the funniest in Zach and Mary, though.
Like, I got to see that again.
Oh, my God.
It's been a while since I've seen
it. I watched it. Like last year or something.
Was Randall's the cinematographer,
yep,
isn't he?
Yep, bro.
Yeah.
He gets shit on, bro. He said she frosted me like a fucking cake. Yeah, you gotta watch Zach and Mary. It's fucking hilarious. Sir, I got a small dick. It's nothing I haven't seen. I work in pediatrics.
Yeah. And the way he delivers
that's what like Justin Long is freaking hilarious.
I gotta watch Accepted.
Dude, Accepted's great. He's funny as shit.
Yeah.
I love Accepted. Accepted's fucking hilarious. I'm a fool around your little crotch and I'm gonna make some magic.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus had abandoned us at Quick Stop. Jesus was always more of a Wawa guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, when Dante,
yeah, when
says,
Dante
that,
says that,
I was like,
like, you gotta be from this, around this, the tri-state area to probably get that one. Now I think they're down in Florida. There's some in, like, Virginia.
Oh, really?
There's some in Virginia and Maryland, I think, too. But, you know, they're really more like PA, New Jersey.
Because I know they start in the Philly area.
Yeah, I'm like, they're...
So, like, Philly, Jersey first.
You know, when you go to Philly, there's a Wawa, like, every fucking... 3 blocks, it feels like.
Yeah, even in Coatesville, there's a couple.
Oh, there's but there's the one right in Thorndale.
Yeah,
there's 2 in Thorndale, and Where's the next closest one? Might be Downingtown, but there's two in Thorndale. They're fucking 2 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
All right.
They're like Turkey Hills around here.
Yeah, so. Turkey Hills are big around this area. Yeah. Turkey Hills like the redneck Wawa.
Yeah.
I mean, how dare you? Let's keep it real.
It's named after an Indian tribe. How dare you?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Because they would have red skin.
I didn't mean for it to be that way, but it just turned out that way.
It's just an accurate assessment.
Your daughter told me the funniest Indian joke one time, bro, and I laughed for like 30 minutes, bro. Really? She was like, I met this Native American girl. She's from Montana. She said, I try and stay true to my native roots because they always call me apple. I was like, an apple? She said, yeah, red on the outside, white on the inside. Bro, I laughed at that for like 20 straight minutes, bro.
Wow.
I was like, bro, I never heard that shit in my life, bro. I was like, that's funny as shit.
Wow.
I was like, that's great. All right. Jesus said, abandon. Oh, I just went down. My bad.
Yeah.
Take me, Satan. Make me your concubine.
Oh, yeah, and he's dropping his pants in the waiting room.
Make me your concubine. I'm talking about the young fuckable Luke from Return of the Jedi, not the Gran Torino get off my lawn Luke from The Last Jedi.
He said it. Out comes out Luke motherfucking Skywalker.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Any Wars fan, when they saw that episode of Mando, they nutted in their pants. I'm sorry. When I saw that black hood and that green saber, bro, this was me. I was like, oh my God. And when they show his face, I was like, oh my God. I think I paused it. I was like, my heart can't handle all this right now. I literally was freaking the fuck out, dude. That's one of the best episodes. That's one of the best. That episode is one of the best pieces of Star Wars content, like, at all. All right. There was an 80% chance we weren't ever going to talk about Star Wars again.
Wow.
Sad. I saw the whole movie of my life flash before my eyes. And you know what sucks? I don't think I finished the quote. I'm sorry. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. Excuse me.
Hold on. I know what you were thinking. It probably moved on to something else.
Yeah.
Sadly. Hold on. I have quotes here. Obviously what Randall says at the funeral, you're not even supposed to be here today. Let's see. Hold on. Sorry, there's a lot here.
There's a lot. That's what I'm like. I'm sorry. I screwed that up. I'm usually much better there. While you're looking, I'll move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Now you're Quentin Tarantino. I'm not saying I'm going to make a movie as good as him, but I suck at sex doesn't stop me from trying to get laid.
Yeah.
That's funny, man. Shit.
Dante's whole thing. Holy shit.
Man. Yeah, sorry. There's a lot. That's what I'm like. And this might not even be one that was in quotes.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I'm sorry, fans. That's my fault. What's the movie going to be about? It's going to be about an hour and a half. I hate long movies.
I love that because whenever anyone asks me, like, what is a movie about, I usually tell them the runtime. Yeah,
runtime. Yeah. About 140 minutes.
And they just stare at me.
Like, that's funny. That there is dental school. Me and Veggie Dick rented that shit in 94, and we never watched it because we didn't have a VCR.
Your
veggie dick.
Oh my God.
That shit's funny as hell. Sex sells, son, and I'm always buying.
Oh, yeah. A porno movie?
A porno movie? Everyone thinks it's a porno. Yeah, everyone thinks it's a porno. That's funny. Enter Dan T, a hideous fucking male chun. Dan T. That's funny as shit. And then I didn't put the whole quote because it was long. I just said the whole Star Wars explanation of all the characters and how they stack up with each of them, which I thought that was cool.
I'm not even Chewie?
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's like, Elias is more like Chewie.
I always thought I'd be Han.
Yeah, he's like, nah, he's like, you'd be more like the deck. I'm like, you asshole.
Yeah, because Randall's what? He's like, I'm Luke and Han.
I'm Luke and Han, yep. Like, they are the two main dudes. Okay, because it was Satan who saved you when my prayers fell on deaf ears of Jesus the jerk off. Like this guy. If you spit on my grave in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Beck says to him. Yep. there's nothing to do in heaven except fuck. That's why they call it heaven. That's why Rosario is only in this movie for about 6 total minutes, and she still got quotes.
Malcolm Triple X.
Yep. Oh my God. When she said she banged Miles Davis. She said she banged the ghost of Cleopatra.
Yeah.
She has some interesting ones. Of course, I'm not even supposed to be here today. I'll fuck anything that moves. Wait, is this a porno? Cool, Blade Runner. I like that. What's Blade Runner?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, my man's is literally dressed like Prince. Oh my God, you can't just turn regular people into movie stars.
Yeah.
Like, we all know that ain't true. My man Sean Baker been doing it for a minute. Why you got me saying stupid shit like Snoochie Boochies? I ain't gonna say that shit. We learned about food prep when we ran the cock smoker.
Oh, yeah. Like these
motherfuckers. All hail the queen of oral.
Oh.
That's what Veronica pulls up.
Yes.
He said, I see myself as retail's Richard Linklater.
No.
I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
Think this means Veronica's in. I think it means Dante sure is. The rockin' Range Rover. Silent Bob, you're a rude motherfucker, but you cute as hell.
He's always saying, oh, yeah. Rude motherfucker.
Rude motherfucker. Shit, yeah. We all gonna be doing DPs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Jay is. We all gonna be doing DPs. I was hoping I could borrow some money. Fuck no. Like, you know, right? I'm like, did you really call me and ask me to borrow some motherfucking money, dude? I'd be like, get out of my
face. Because he probably hasn't talked to her in 16 years.
Bro, it's probably been 16 years.
So how did he still have her number?
Yeah, maybe kept up. I mean, dude.
Oh, she could have kept the same phone number.
Bro, like, dude, yeah. I've had my same phone number for almost 20 years. Wow. So, yeah. I ain't doing this with all... Oh, no, I'll skip on it. That was before you cheated on me at a fucking donkey show. Yeah, right. I ain't doing this with all these fucking people watching.
Oh, yeah. You too.
You're not allowed to rent here anymore.
Yeah!
I'm like, that's always going to be a great line. I'm like, that's what I do love the callbacks, man. That's always going to be a great line. You can blame Dante ad-libbing all over my movie like he's fucking Seth Rogen. Calling a guy an Asian design major sounds racist.
Oh, yeah.
He was a passionate student of Asian design. He just happened to be Asian himself. A passionate student of Asian design. That's fucking hilarious.
Rick Darris is
Rick
back.
Rick Darris was back. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
The chick who played little sister, she looked the exact same, just 30 years older.
Yeah.
I was like, her face is the exact same. Her hairstyle is even like the same. I'm like, she looks the exact same, just add 30 years. Like, it's crazy. Where was I? Oh, this is Lisa and her daughter, Lisa. Don't call her little Lisa, and you better not call me big Lisa. I'm like, yo, chill. They shooting this in black and white. I see a lot of white, not a lot of black.
Oh, and her husband's name was Lando.
It was Lando.
The dude from the animated series, yes. Lando.
Lando, that's funny as hell.
I think Mario Joyner did his voice in the animated series. Mm. The comedian Mario Joyner.
That's funny. Man, Lando. I almost died. Did I tell you that? About 1,000 fucking times. I just had Dante's entire speech and scene in the quick stop. Watch the movie if you need it, because you need to see it that way. Me, I'm not going to do nearly as good of a job as Dante. I ain't an actor.
I just have to know that the one thing that he says, the way he says it.
I would love to try my foot at trying to nail a scene like that.
Oh, my God.
Just give me a week in the script. I'll come at you with some fire, bro. I did some school plays back in the day. I was like,
Yeah, I'm the boy who lived.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, his poor little heart.
His poor little heart. Yeah, like he was going. He went off on that. He did. He needed that
it
though,
was like
bro.
30-plus years. Pent of rage.
Rage. Yes, yeah, bro. He needed that. It's just a heart attack. I had one. He'll be fine.
Oh,
this guy. Wait, I thought his name was Sergio. Yeah, it's the best movie I ever saw.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I trust the director. He wasn't just my favorite filmmaker. He was my best friend. Stop. Wow. I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
While I may be the devil's concubine, I still believe in heaven.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. Elias, bro. Yeah. I have Randall's entire eulogy from the Star Wars comparisons, talking about The Departed.
Oh yeah.
Even though I disagree with them about the rat scene, I know a lot of people don't like the rat at the end, but I like the rat because it just was a stamp. You know, I liked it. Whatever. I thought it was a nice little touch because you're like, yeah, that fucking cheese-eating bastard. God, that's a great-ass movie.
But and then at the end of his eulogy, though, he says, you're not even supposed
you're
to
not
be
even here supposed today. To be here today. And yes, I had that. That was the one line I did take from it. And of course, Sister Sugar Walls is there, and it's great.
Yeah.
And she's working in the shop wearing the Jay costume at the end.
But she's doing the milkmaid thing that her grandmother did in the first one.
Yep,
because I think that was Kevin Smith's mom in the
that's
first movie.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, that's a lot of money. You want to buy some weed?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah.
Well played, clerks.
Well played, clerks.
And that's all I had. There was a couple little more there, but I think I got them
that
summed
good,
it up.
That's a good good amount there.
Possibly. These guys, that's great. So what's age the best? I had a few things. What you got?
Well, it's only 2 years old, so I think the whole thing is actually aged pretty well.
It's aged well for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's aged so well, it feels older.
Yeah,
but it's not.
Actually, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had the reminiscing of the first one. I had Elias's goth transformation.
Yeah.
Emma. Dante's acting.
Yes, yes. You're
and
right.
Of course, Rosario Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
She's always going to be in What's Age the Best.
Yeah.
What's Age the Worst? I have Veronica, but I feel bad putting that now.
Yeah, no, but when you put it into perspective, she hasn't actually aged.
Yeah,
that
I'm
bad.
Like, yeah, now, because I'm thinking she's there. I'm figuring everybody was the same age. Yeah. So I was like, man, she really aged
Elias
up.
Didn't age too well. Or Randall.
No. I mean, Elias just got fat.
Yeah, like, Randall's in good shape. It's just his hair. Like,
yeah, I mean.
You gotta do something different with your hair.
Yeah, bro. Just cut it off.
Yeah, because the weight isn't 430 movies.
Yeah,
shorter.
Just cut it short. Yeah. And,
But I guess rock Randall, a hat or Randall, the character.
That's his look stuck in the 90s.
Yeah,
so
it's probably not Jeff Anderson. It's Randall.
No, it's Randall. Yeah, Jeff Anderson's probably like, bro, I ain't walking my shit like this. Yeah, so, yep. Most rewatchable scenes. I had the opening. Yeah, I had the honestly. Opening credits. Randall's surgery. When Elias turns goth. The auditions. Veronica showing up. When they start shooting the movie. When they get stoned with the movies crew and dance in the parking lot.
That's a great scene.
That scene is great.
Yeah,
yes.
When they're dancing
and Jay
stuff,
pulls the fucking blunts on his fingers.
Yeah, like Wolverine.
Yes.
Yes.
And that song they had playing, that rap song, I think. What was it, Miss Maya or Miss Mary Matt, whatever it was called. I was vibing with it. I was like, this fits. Yeah. That was funny. When they shoot the fight scene in the quick stop.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
And yes, definitely.
When they watch the movie and when Rosario comes through and Becks and watches it with them.
Yeah.
That's obviously, that's one of the most rewatchable yet.
Well, seeing Dante in the bed watching the movie.
Oh, my God.
You know, and he's all hosed
sick,
up.
Sick, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like.
Dude, when you see his eyes, like.
Yeah. Honestly, it is some of his best acting.
Some of his best acting. He went to town there.
Yeah.
Bro. I think that says a lot to Kevin Smith as a director, too.
Yeah.
I think he directed his ass off here with that, with Dante in this one. And then I had the funeral and the ending.
Yeah. Because the ending was perfect, especially when Elias and his minion, you know, go with the kites.
Yep.
And then he's Randall standing there, and like the ghost of Dante is with him.
Sick.
The force. He should have looked like a force ghost.
Force
though.
Ghost. Yeah. Dude,
that would
have
been
a
perfect.
Missed opportunity. Yeah, it's a missed opportunity for sure.
Because that would have been perfect because of all the Star Wars references.
Yes, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
All right, best characters.
Dante,
uh-huh.
Randall,
uh-huh.
Elias,
uh-huh.
Jay,
uh-huh.
Silent Bob,
uh-huh.
Becca,
uh-huh.
The doctor.
Yep.
Amy, I was like, Sarris.
I got one more.
I, yeah, like, I forget the doctor's name. Yep.
I can't
Sarris.
Remember her name in it, but yeah, I literally put the doc.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I had that. You literally named him in order.
Yeah.
That's what I had in order. That was the best character. I only have one word.
Emma?
No.
But only because
she
her
comes,
character.
She comes through in this one, though. She does. She didn't have to give him that money.
What? That's true.
She's not in it enough, and she's not an asshole enough for me to call her worst character. She's
Randall.
Yes. Randall.
I had to think about it.
Yep, he's so. Always he's a worst character in all three of them, and
he's
a best character.
Best,
yeah,
yes.
I was like, he's a best and worst in all of them.
Yeah.
I didn't have any nitpicks, low key. Did you have any?
Actually, no. I think because it's such an emotional ride, and like you said,
you're
especially after watching
like
them all,
yeah,
you're not going to have too many nitpicks because your whole heart is like swollen,
yep.
Because you realize like Randall finally feels the same way about Dante as like the viewers probably
yep.
have in the past 30 years,
mm-hmm.
even though people have looked at Randall that way.
Yeah.
And that's why I viewed it kind of like Joker 2, how like, I think they wanted to say this guy isn't a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, this, they're trying to show you that Randall wasn't really the hero.
He wasn't. It was
Dante.
Yeah. That's good. It's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Sickening. Recasting couch.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. For Dante, who'd you have?
Okay. I told you I didn't write him down because uh-huh. I was kind of throwing him up in the air. One of the things, actually, I have to look up his name.
I'll tell you mine in the meantime.
Yeah, go ahead. Please do.
Paul Rudd.
Holy living fuck.
I was like, Paul, age is right. Acting style, he can do the funny, emotional. Oh, I think he would kill it.
I'm throwing my phone on the floor, brother, because that's...
I was like,
oh, my God. I didn't even think of Paul Rudd.
I was literally sitting there for like 20 minutes. Like, oh.
So then, would you have like Seth Rogen as Randall?
So... I thought about
because
I had
the way that they were.
Now I had either Seth Rogen or Owen Wilson.
Oh shit, Owen Wilson
would be good. Like,
oh my
you know,
god,
I was like, Owen Wilson would be good too.
God, you
like,
son of a bitch.
Yeah, I was like, I like because I thought about Seth Rogen too. I was like, he's already
yeah.
working with Kevin Smith, they're friends. I was like, he could play Randall good, but I'm like, I think Owen's got more of his cadence.
You know what? God
and delivery
damn it, you're
style.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I was like, I think I did good on those two. But okay. The rest is tough.
Wait, going with like the Owen Wilson thing, what about Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn would be fun.
Paul Rudd and Vince Vaughn together.
He's fucking huge.
He is, because how tall is Paul Rudd? He's got to be
like
6 foot.
Yeah.
And he's only
Vince
like
Vaughn, 6'5".
Yeah, but that's not.
That's a big difference.
Just put lips on Ant-Man's shoes. You have Ant-Man and Giant-Man.
Just make these two. Like, listen, they got a lot taller over the years.
Yeah.
They hit their growth spurt in their 40s.
My God, no. You know what? Owen Wilson and Paul Rudd are perfect.
Yeah, they would be fun.
You?
And you know they're friends, too, so that'd be
yeah.
great.
Oh,
Elias. I went with someone who I am pretty sure is Elias' age. I wish he was still a little bit chunkier. I went with Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill or like a Topher Grace.
Topher Grace is too skinny.
But he doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I guess not.
You know
I'm
what
just
I mean?
Thinking of big ass goth Elias because he's huge in this
yeah,
movie.
But see, Jonah Hill would have to gain some weight back too.
But he ain't anorexic.
No, man. That's true.
I'm like, he's
but isn't he like too much of like a serious actor now? He's like, I worked with Brad Pitt and
yeah,
you
he's
know,
like Moneyball, Leo, yeah.
Yeah, he's
I mean,
like, I started out in the 40-year-old
yeah,
virgin,
virgin
and accepted.
It.
And then Superbad, and then I became serious.
I told you to ask me about my wiener. And
Michael Cera.
If he was fucking thick. Actually, I do. I love acting-wise. He's perfect. I just
yeah.
wish he was fucking bigger. He's so skinny.
Yeah, but see, he could. They could put on weight. They could do a De Niro.
Michael Cera ain't about to gain that much weight to play Elias.
No. Probably not. No. They could do a fat suit.
They could put him.
Look, they did it for Colin Farrell.
They
for
did.
The
I do love Michael Cera for that. That would be great. And,
yeah.
like, he's friends with all them dudes,
yeah.
too. So.
And, like, imagine his voice spitting out
Elias'
lines.
He actually, because he has that, like, soft but like asshole-y tone to him.
Yeah, like Scott Pilgrim. Actually, yeah,
I'll take that. I'll take
because he's probably about, the same age, the right age too.
What about Michael Cera for a J?
Believe it or not, since Jay would be a little older, I was thinking Jim Brewer. Right?
That's fantastic. Right, that's it. I'll take then, that. He's already the stonery type of dude.
And honestly, believe it or not, Bobby Moynihan, who was trying to be Silent Bob in the film, he would be perfect for Silent Bob.
All right, let's do it.
There you go.
Let's do it. Jim Brewer, dude. I'm just thinking like half-baked Jim Brewer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's perfect. All right. We got it.
Because that's what I was thinking.
That's real good.
Because
like,
I told you,
he doesn't look that old.
No.
Because what, he's like 55?
Yeah, his eyes are always like.
He's like, he looks permanently stoned. Yeah. I love it.
You see, I told you, I didn't write him down because I was still mulling him over.
Yeah, that was
But actually, once you said Paul Rudd, I'm like, well, that's it. It doesn't matter what I was.
Yeah, I was like, Paul Rudd. Perfect, bro.
God, he would be.
He would.
And he usually has like a beard or something. Yeah, he can just shave and have the Van Dyke.
It's called
a Van Dyke, everyone, not a goatee. Yep. Goatee's only in the bottom.
Van Dyke.
Or the Velma from Scooby-Doo.
The Velma.
Yeah, the Van Dyke.
The Van Dyke, chill.
Oh, hey, whoa.
All right, director.
This was a tough one.
This is a tough one.
Because you said Todd Phillips, right, for the last
one. I like Todd Phillips on that one. But so, I wouldn't pick Todd Phillips for this one.
No, even though it's more serious,
I actually picked who Randall called himself, Richard Linklater.
It would be a great full circle thing because Slacker is what inspired Kevin Smith to do movies anyway.
That's what I was like.
That would be great.
We went with Jim Jarmusch for the first one, yes. Todd Phillips for the second one, and Richard Linklater for this one. I think that's a nice milestone steps of directors there.
That actually is.
Yeah, and because Linklater can do funny. Linklater's not afraid to be raunchy either.
Yeah, yeah. And look at Slacker.
And he would do good with the serious too.
Because he
can do drama. He really can do anything, honestly. Like, dude did School of Rock. You know what I'm saying? Like, Fire Kids movie.
What, Jack Black could be Silent Bob. Jack Black. But
I thought about that.
But could he be Silent?
Yeah, bro. So I thought about him.
Yeah.
I was like, he won't shut up.
Yeah.
I was like, there is no way you
but
get.
But he's good friends with like Owen Wilson friends and with stuff them too. Dudes.
Yeah. I'm like, but there's no way Jack Black could go a whole film without only saying two or three sentences.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I need some lines, man. You know what I'm saying? He'd be like, come on.
Yeah, he'd be like busting out.
Yeah, bro. He'd be like, he's sitting there just ready to fucking explode, bro.
Start singing.
Yeah.
Some Tenacious D stuff.
Plug acoustic guitar out of nowhere. Oh, that's funny. I had no unanswerable questions because it tells answers everything.
Yeah, it's a good. Everything it actually it makes the whole series like a garland.
Yep, all works. It all works.
Yes.
Prop you want from the movie?
Believe it or not, I would love either. Oh my god, the movie's costume.
Yeah. I had three things. I said Clerk's shirt or Quickstop shirt.
Yeah,
sorry.
Quickstop. Yeah,
Quickstop shirt. Movie's shirt. Or the cow costume.
Yeah.
Or anything from the weed shop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just
anything.
No, I know what you want. You want dental school.
I definitely want dental school. I'll take it on VHS, bro.
Yes.
If that's the only way.
Because we could watch it here.
Yeah, we sure could. Bro, I sit back here and watch dental school. Like, this is the best fucking movie ever made, bro. Like, no questions. All right, bro. That's that, man. So,
wow.
Before we grade it, I want you to put them in order from your favorite to least.
Believe it or not, it would probably be, I think they're all tied. I love all of them for the exact same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously I saw Clerks first and I've been living with that one longer.
Yeah.
And the animated series, obviously I've been living with that one longer as well. But once I saw Clerks 2 and then Clerks 3, I think as a trilogy, you can't really separate them.
It's hard to.
It is. But I would say like one is number one.
Uh-huh.
Number three would be number two and number two would be number three.
Our orders are so different.
Really?
Yep. Because I sat and thought about it because one was always number one for me.
Yes.
And I changed my mind if you're asking me subjectively and objectively, it'd be different. If you're asking me, Dom, you need to sit down and just throw one of them on, which one would you throw on first?
Clerks 2.
I'm going to pick 2.
I understand.
I understand. Then I go 1, then 3. But like you said, they're all great. I love them all.
Yeah.
As a series, it's an A+. Clerks 3 as a film, I'm going to give it a 94%.
Yeah. We gave, what, Clerks 2 a 95,
didn't we? Something like that, yeah.
And Clerks is,
I think we gave 1 an A+.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's got to be.
Yeah.
So that would be my word. 2, 1, 3.
They're all worthy of each other.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess that's a good way of saying it. And even
it's a mood thing, too.
And even the animated series, if you include all 6 episodes of the animated series, have you ever read Dante's Inferno?
I've never actually read it, but I do know what it's about.
Are there 9 concentric circles of hell that he has to go through?
Yeah.
So there's 3 movies and 6 episodes of the cartoon,
oh,
which would be 9.
9.
So is this whole thing with the animated series,
it's literally Dante's Inferno. Inferno?
It might be, like, and he's going through hell. Layers of hell, for
yes.
sure.
Yeah.
And he gets, man, he really is. He has to go through that hell to get to heaven.
Yes.
Kind of crazy. Man, look at you.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just
a philosopher.
Oh, good lord.
All right, so what are we doing next? Should we, like, switch up to something insane, different?
You wanted to do Saturday Night.
Oh, fuck yeah. We're doing that next.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Saturday Night. That's a good way to end the year, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So
one of your favorites.
Yep, and I just got to watch the first episode.
Yeah, Peacock.
Because I'm really excited to watch Saturday Night again.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
I know we've been talking about it.
Yeah,
it's so good. I figured we might as well just do it.
Yeah, like, I was talking to my friend about it. She was like, dude. The movie's so good. I was like, right? And that's not even her style of film like that. And she's like, I still loved it. So I'm like, you know it's good.
But yeah, it's that urgency of mm-hmm. it almost.
I'm like, it's so intense. You're drawn into it. You're just like, I feel like I'm there like, bro, I got to get shit ready. I'm about to fuck off. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy with them.
Yes,
so
yeah.
So it's like, it's...
Look, dope. It's probably Jason Reitman's best film.
It might be.
And he's directed some good stuff. Good I mean, shit. Ivan Reitman, his dad, was amazing too, but like...
Kid from the Fablemans got a Golden Globe nom for it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's Lorne Michaels,
yep,
right?
Yeah. He got a Golden Globe nom.
He was great.
He was great. Everybody, man.
Yeah.
Like, he obviously carried that set.
Corey Michael Smith, I think.
Is that Chevy?
Yes.
Incredible.
Incredible.
I think he was my favorite character.
Yeah. Dylan O'Brien and Matt Wood. Because Matt Wood is Belushi, and Dylan O'Brien's Aykroyd.
Yeah, Aykroyd was great,
too. Those three guys.
Belushi was so funny, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, I couldn't imagine being back there dealing with these guys in real life. I wouldn't be able to keep my shit together, bro.
Well, see, before that, they'd all worked for, like, National Lampoon's Lemmings and, like, Second City. So they were all...
They had that chemistry.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of them, like, knew each other already. So they knew, I guess, how to deal with each other. We'll talk about it next week.
Yep. All right, guys. I'm Dom.
I am Jamie.
And this is the Cutting Room 4.